Holy Spirit, we welcome you here today. And I pray that you would speak to each and every one of us this morning. That you would open up our eyes where they need to be opened. Lord, that people wouldn't hear me speak, they wouldn't hear my voice, but that they would hear your voice. And Father, I believe that this message is for each and every one of us here this morning. May your will be done now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We're going to begin in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. The title of the message today is Blind Spot, not Bald Spot, Blind Spot, okay? Some of y'all, where your blind spot is on your car, and that's what's inspired this message, is people almost running over me when I've been in their blind spot, and me almost running over people when they were in my blind spot. And so Matthew 6, verse 22 says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" There's different ways that we can kind of take this verse. Tim used to attach that verse to all of his emails. He might still do it, I'm not for sure, but talking about the light and darkness. And whenever I think about that, though, I think, if the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? And I was thinking about how many people, have you ever talked to somebody and they are 100% convinced that they're right about something? And you're 100% convinced that they're wrong about it. And one of you, not both of you, can be right. And if you've never had this happen, talk about politics with someone. And real quick, you're going to see that people have, they think they're 100% right on this politician. And you might think you're 100% right on that politician. And so you both can't be 100% right. One of you is blind. One of you is walking in darkness. And I was thinking about that, is how many people are walking around in darkness, but they think they're in the light. They think they're good. They think everything's right in their life. They think everything is wonderful. And yet there's this blind spot that they can't see, that really they're in darkness. Matthew 15:14 says, "Leave them alone. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit." So see, there's people walking around and they're leading other people and they're blind themselves, and they think they're walking in righteousness. They think they're walking in truth. They think they're walking in the light, and they're leading people astray. It happens all the time in the media. It happens in politics. It even happens in the church, where you feel like you're right and you're leading people astray because you're not really in the Word. You're not really in the light. And I was thinking about our cars, and I was thinking about the new cars. And these new cars, have any of y'all, some of you may have a car like this, Crystal's car is like this. If there's someone in your blind spot, on her mirror, a light lights up to warn you someone's there. And but you know, there's a funny thing about that, is even though that light is lighting up that there's someone there, there's sometimes a car that your warning system still doesn't pick up. My old boss was telling me a few weeks ago, I seen him, that his son was on his motorcycle going down Phoenix Avenue, and said there was an older couple in a brand new Tahoe next to him, and he was right in front of like Home Depot, and they come over and run over the top of him, and said that as they was coming, he started beating on their window to try and get them to quit, and they went right over the top of him. Said it run over his, I guess it'd be his left side, and just destroyed his left leg. They had to put pins and surgeries and everything on it. And what's bad is, the couple didn't even know they did it. They drove on into the Home Depot parking lot and got out to go shopping, and someone went and caught them. They were an older couple. They didn't realize. And someone was saying, well, with them Tahoes, you know, that even the seat vibrates to let you know, oh, there's someone there. There's someone there. So I don't know if they just missed it, or they didn't heed the warning and they thought, nobody's really there. You know, many of us, we have warnings going off in our life. We have warnings saying, you need to slow down, you need to stop, you need to be careful. But we're not heeding that warning. The wind's blowing, the door's open here. Must be blowing hard. Let's go to Acts chapter 7. And I was thinking about Saul, who would become Paul, as I was praying and asking the Lord, because this thought kept coming to my mind about the blind spot. And I was thinking about who Saul was. And in Acts 7, verse 59, it says, "While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' Then he fell on his knees and cried out, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' When he had said this, he fell asleep, and Saul was there giving approval to his death." Saul was given approval to Stephen's death, okay? So this is kind of who Saul was, okay? And then I want to go to Philippians 4. We're going to come back here. Philippians 3, 4, and 6. And he says, "Though I myself have reason for such confidence," this is Saul talking about himself, okay? "If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, Pharisees, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalism, righteous, faultless." This is Saul talking about himself. I was a Hebrew of a Hebrew. As far as the flesh, I was circumcised. I was doing everything right. I was persecuting the church. Man, I was awesome. I gave approval to them stoning Stephen. I'm going around persecuting the church. And what was Saul doing when all this? Is he thought he was doing it for God? See, Saul's like, "Man, I was an awesome dude, and I was doing everything right for the Lord." So he thought. But we all know by reading the Word that Saul was actually in darkness. He was actually on the wrong path. And I believe today that there's still people that are zealous just like Saul was, but yet they're on the wrong path. Back to Acts. We'll go over to chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 1. "So meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked." See, he's a Pharisee of a Pharisee, keeping the letter of the law, doing everything perfect, so to speak. But he was on the wrong path. Some of us, I believe, we're on the wrong path even today, and our blind spot warnings are flashing and our blind spots are blinking and all these warning signs are coming up, but we're saying, "I'm good. I'm good." He says, "Who are you, Lord?" He says, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." He replied, "Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they had led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Saul was physically blind now, but before this he was spiritually blind. And it took the Lord Jesus blinding him physically and saying, "Why are you persecuting me? What are you doing?" In Damascus, verse 10, in Damascus was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. "Ananias, yes, Lord," he said. "The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for the man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." Lord, Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." Can I tell you what this would be in comparison to? Like, to me, in my mind, okay, let's say the Lord told you right now, you need to go over to Afghan, and you need to go to a certain city in Afghan, and you need to knock on the door because there's a guy there that you need to pray for. There's a guy there, and you'd be going, "Now wait a minute, They kill Christians. It's posted all the time where they're beheading Christians. They hate us. And Lord, you're telling me to go there? You're telling me to go to that foreign country? You're telling me to go to that foreign land where they hate me? That's what it would be like for Ananias. Verse 13, Lord Ananias answered him, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has come here with the authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. I've got that underlined. I've preached on that before about suffering for the Lord. Verse 17, then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, he has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Something like scales fell from his eyes. You know, some of you can physically see me this morning. Some people that may be watching us on YouTube eventually, they may physically be able to see me. But there's scales on their eyes. And they're not yet seeing the truth about Jesus Christ and about living for Jesus Christ and what it all means and what it all entails. They're maybe have a form of godliness. But the scales are still there and they're not seeing clearly what it means to follow Jesus. What it means to truly be His disciple. What it means to follow Him. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't this the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who called on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners of the chief priest? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. He was blind, but now he sees. The darkness that once was in him was no longer there anymore. That now he sees and he's baffling everybody. They're like, what? What is going on here? This guy was the one that was killing the Christians. This was the guy that was putting them all into prison. But now he's preaching for Jesus? Now something has changed. As I was thinking about how passionate he was, but he was passionate for the wrong reasons. But when God really got a hold of him and his eyes was open, then he became passionate for the right things. And I was thinking about for us that many of us, there's these blind spots in our lives and other people can see it sometimes. Other people can see things in your life that you can't see for yourself. And some of us, there's these blind spots in our lives and the warnings are going off and the alarms are going off and the things are beeping and the things are going because they're saying you're going down the wrong path. I'm good. You're going down the wrong path. You're listening to the wrong people. You're watching the wrong things. You're going down the wrong path. You need to be careful. You're alone too much with that person. You're not listening. Warning, 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 warning. Hate one thing about our trucks at work and the warning system on it. Oh my goodness. But I've learned because I've almost been thrown through the windshield because it'll sense something. Oh, there's something in front of you and it's not in front of you, but it'll sense something and it'll lock up your brakes and almost send you through the windshield. This happened to me 2 weeks ago. But I've learned that once, as soon as I see if someone's turning right and getting on the right side of the road, if I've got my cruise set, I better turn it off because if I don't turn it off, what's that truck going to do? I mean, it'll lock up the brakes on you. And the other day it happened quicker than I thought. I didn't get the cruise turned off in time and it locked it up. And I thought, oh, great, because there's a line of traffic behind me. I thought they're about to rear end me because this truck is reading something's wrong. There wasn't nothing wrong. But the amazing thing about those trucks and those warning systems is that sometimes they do warn you, hey, you're following too close. Now, any of y'all tailgate anybody. I know some of you do because some of you tailgate me and I hate it. But those trucks are set also. When you got the crew set, it maintains a safe following distance. And a safe following distance, what that reads is not the same safe following distance that I think. The safe following distance that truck's reading is like the length of our church, maybe a little more. Oh, okay, so that's safe. You know, I think more like the length of the sanctuary is a little bit better, you know, but that thing will even, it even warns us with seconds, it tells. And some of us, even in this room, has got in trouble for following somebody for way too long at too close of a distance according to that computer, according to that warning system. Can I tell you something? And this is the truth. Because I hear that warning system so much, I ignore it now. It's just become another beep. It's become another noise that I deal with throughout the day. I turn up the radio and drown it out because I don't want to hear it. If I could override the system, I would override the system so I wouldn't have to hear it. But that thing is there supposedly for my safety, supposedly to protect me. Y'all, in our lives, the Holy Spirit, I believe, is issuing an alert and a warning to many of us. Maybe you haven't fallen away. Maybe you hadn't gone too far yet. But the Holy Spirit is saying, slow down. Are you sure you want to watch that? Are you sure you want to allow that in your home? Are you sure you want to talk to that person? Warning, warning, and it might be faint, but then it's getting stronger and stronger. But what do? You drown it out. You drown it out with entertainment. You drown it out with the television. You drown it out with your stereo. You drown it out with activities. You drown it out with whatever you can. Why? Many people, I believe, I got to be careful saying this. I hear about all these people on all this medication. I believe that a lot of their problems could be solved if they would just repent and turn back to God. That's not 100% across the board, but I believe there's many people that's been hearing the warning signs from the Holy Spirit, hearing the warning signs of God that you're going down the wrong path. And Jesus in His love and His kindness is warning, saying, please, please change path. Please, please, please repent. Please, please, please. I love you so much. But what do? We drown that out in our pills and in our drugs and in our whatever it is, entertainment, whatever it is. We drown it out because we're trying to silence that voice, and that voice is what we need to be hearing. That voice is what needs to be speaking to us. And just like those people that run over my boss's son, ignored the warnings. Or maybe he was just in that perfect spot of hidden from the warning system. Can I tell you, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to get in that perfect spot of hidden in your life to where you think, I'm good. I'm good. And then all at once, destruction comes. All at once, the chaos comes. I want to go back to Daniel chapter 4 and read a little bit about Nebuchadnezzar, because as I was thinking about the warnings, I was thinking about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "You, O king, saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, 'Cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump, bound with iron and bronze in the grass of the field, while its roots remain in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of heavens. Let him live like the wild animals until seven times pass by for him.' This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree the Most High has issued against my lord the king. You will be driven away from the people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle and be drenched with the dew of the heavens. seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree will, with its roots, means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Therefore, O King, be pleased to accept my advice, renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be then your prosperity will continue. Daniel had given a warning to Nebuchadnezzar. The Lord had given a warning to Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel interprets the dream. And he says, please repent. Change. And maybe this won't happen to you. Maybe it won't happen to you. If you would just repent and change, maybe. But did Nebuchadnezzar listen? This last week I heard on Focus on the Family, I don't know why. I think I got a good marriage. I trust my wife 100%. But I heard this Focus on the Family talking about marriage, and this pastor that's been in ministry for over 30 years, when he was a youth pastor, his pastor left his family for a lady in the church, and then another church he was in, the pastor left his family for a lady in the church, and he's wrote this book about warning signs of what can cause affairs in your marriage. And it was like a 19 things that if you see happening in your marriage, you need to put up a red flag and stop. And one of the biggest things was talking to old boyfriends or girlfriends from high school on Facebook. He said, you're going down the wrong path. But it was 19 steps of, he said that if you do these things, I think he said, was it within 60 days, you will be having an affair. It was unreal. And he said, it's even like one of the things that he said, people do this. A lot of people do this and they think nothing of it. He said, if you're saving conversations for that coworker, oh, I need to tell so-and-so about it, or I need to, and you think, well, I'm going to wait to tell them. If you're buying gifts for coworkers, and he said it could be as innocent as, I know they like Tic Tacs. I'm at the store. I'm going to get them Tic Tacs. I'm going to bring it. He said just those little things, but how Satan gets into your marriage and how Satan wants to destroy your homes. And so I wanted to listen to the whole thing. Me and Crystal listened to it. I'm not worried. I'm not worried at all about my wife having an affair, and I'm not worried at all about me having an affair on my wife, but it's kind of nice to hear the warning signs so that if things start happening in your mind or in your spouse's mind, you can go, oh, wait a minute, that's not right. I need to be careful. My mind's taking me down the wrong path. Does this make sense to anybody this morning? It's good to have those things in your life to say, okay, I need to stop for just a minute. My mom was showing me last night pictures of Lake Michigan that when it freezes over in the winter, and there's an island out there called Mackinac Island, and they take boats, ferries back and forth in the summer, but in the winter the lake freezes so they can't get boats across. And she was showing me last night, these people, they ride snowmobiles back and across the lake to take things out to the island that they need. But she said, do you see that? And I said, it looks like a Christmas tree. She said, yeah. She said, do you know why that's there? I said, I have no idea. She said that they go and drill holes in the ice and they'll put these Christmas trees there as markers to guide those people riding the snowmobiles out to the island so they don't get off course. I never knew that. God, we need markers in our life and guides in our lives so that we don't get off course and don't go into those blind spots and have a wreck, have a crash. Nebuchadnezzar was warned, if you just would repent, maybe God will relent.
But did Nebuchadnezzar listen? Did he heed the warnings? Verse 28, all this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. You think about that. 12 months! 12 months later, you know, some of us, we get warnings and we get warnings and we think, oh, that, I went so many years, I went so many months, nothing happened, God's not gonna, no, nothing's happened. 12 months pass. And he says, is not this the great Babylon I have built as a royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? He's taking credit for all of it. This is all me. The words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from the people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. Immediately what he had said had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of birds. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified Him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of his earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the people of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor will return to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heavens, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just, and those who walk in pride he is able to humble. Those who walk in pride he is able to humble. Some of you, you hadn't been paying attention to the warning signs. You hadn't been paying attention to the blind spot. And maybe right now you're thinking, I don't need that. I don't need help. I don't need the Word of God in my life. I don't need to come to church. I'm good. I'm good. I'm strong. I'm mighty. I'm healthy. My family's doing great. And we think we don't need God, and we ignore and we ignore and we ignore. And those warning signs are going off and those warning signs are going off. Deuteronomy 11:13 says, "So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rain, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine and oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and will eat, and you will eat and be satisfied." You see what that's saying? If you obey. If you follow what I am commanding you. Warning. Have you been obeying? Have you been obeying what the Lord tells you to do? Verse 16, be careful or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you and He will shut the heavens so that it will not rain and the ground will yield no produce and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord is giving you. If you don't obey, You ever think about droughts in certain part of our country and where they're happening at? Could it be that the Lord's saying, y'all's not obeying me? You're not listening to me. Matter of fact, you're going the opposite direction. And we say, oh, global warming is causing it, or we make excuses that this is causing it or that's causing it, and the world's becoming overpopulated or whatever. Have we turned our back on God? So He's saying, why am I going to bless you?
Why am I gonna bless you? 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you unless, of course, you fail the test?
I think about this verse all the time, and I think I put it in a lot of sermons because I'm always thinking, are we examining ourselves to see whether you are in the faith or not? To see whether you're really walking in the faith or not? To see if you're really living it out? It's not just words we speak. It's not just showing up to Sunday service here and there. That we're really, really, truly living it out. In 1 John 5:18-21, it says, we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin.
Test. Warning. If you're continuing in sin and you're doing it comfortably and you're doing it without any regret, without any repentance, something's wrong. You're not really in Him. That's the bottom line. This is hard. Because since I've been a Christian, I have willfully rebelled against the Lord. I have willfully given in to temptation and said, that is just too much. And then after I do it, oh, I'm so mad at myself. I feel so horrible. And why did I do that?
I ignored the warning. I didn't run when I should have. That's the main problem right there with me. God gave me the warnings, but I ignored it. But see, if I get to a point that I can continue in sin and be like, eh, God, something's wrong. We know that anyone born of God does not continue in sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe. And the evil one cannot harm him. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is true God in eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. And I wanted to look up idols in Greek 1497. It says an image that is for worship by implication a heathen god or the worship of such. An image. And I was thinking how many people have begun to worship an image. You say, well, I'm not bowing down to any idol in my home. But we want to maintain a certain image. We want to portray a certain image in our Instagram and in our Snaps and our Facebook and in our social media. And we live for image. We got to have the certain shoes and the certain hair and the certain clothes. And if it has this tag, then it means something. If it don't have that tag, then we don't want it. And you say, well, it's become an idol. It may not be an idol that you bow down and worship, but it's idol in your life. It's something that you worship. For some of us, it might not be that stuff. It might be the Arkansas Razorbacks. It might be an NFL team. It might be, you know, and these idols come to our lives and we become so consumed with that and God gets pushed out of the way. Warning, warning, warning. I know people that can quote statistics on sports, can quote players, can quote how many three-pointers they make, can quote their batting average, can quote how many sacks they made or how many touchdowns they had, they can quote all this, but they don't know any Bible verses, or they might know one, John 3:16. I just have trouble memorizing stuff. I just can't memorize anything. But you know, so-and-so had 30 stolen bases and 42 home runs. But you can't memorize a verse. It's what's important to you. Your idols you will seek out. Your idols you will go after. And for many, our lives have become all about idols. Ending with this, John 8:31-32, To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you hold to my teachings, you're really my disciples. And by being His disciple, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You're bound up today. You're struggling with something today. Get a hold of Jesus. Get a hold of the truth of the Word of God. If you're bound up in idols, if you're bound up in materialism, if you're bound up in politics, if you're bound up in whatever it is, get a hold of Jesus and He will set you free. And look and see blind spots. I almost got hit the other day by a car. I had to go off on the shoulder. And I could see that they had one of those mirrors that lit up to let them know. But I guess I just got to the perfect spot, and I saw as they started coming over, I could see on that mirror their light wasn't lighting up. They were too lazy to look over and see, huh? There's a car there. I ain't condemning them people, because you know what? I've learned in Crystal's car, it's the same thing, and it has those lights, and sometimes I'm looking at those lights, and I say, oh, and I trust that. But I figured out that there's a certain spot on her car that another whole car, a whole car can be right next to you, and you can look in this mirror, and you can look in that mirror, and even that little warning light is not lighting up. There's a car right there. Years ago, I almost run over Kyle and Amy. We were right in front of McDonald's coming down 71, and I was in the left lane, and Kyle was in the right lane, and I'm driving and driving and driving and look in my mirror and look in my mirror, and I look in my mirror and look in my mirror again, but I was too lazy to look. And I start coming over, and Amy says to Kyle, I wasn't in the car with him, he doesn't see you. Kyle thought I was joking. I didn't see him. Kyle had to hit his brakes and swerve. I'm the professional driver, and I almost run him off the road. I almost wiped him out. Why? Because I was too lazy to look. Let's stop being lazy and let's examine our lives and say, God, is there a blind spot that I'm missing? Is there something in my life that doesn't need there? Is there something there that's causing me to turn away from you? Is there something there that has become an idol to me and I don't see it? You may see it. Maybe everybody else in the church sees it. Maybe nobody sees it but you and your Holy Spirit. But God, may I hear your warnings and may I not be too lazy to look. Some of you, you're going to leave here and you're not even going to think twice about this message. You're not going to go home and examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith or not. You're not going to go home and examine anything in your life. Why? Because you're lazy. But I encourage you to stop for a moment and pray and say, God, help me to not be lazy. Help me to truly examine my life. And if there's anything in me that does not need to be there, may I live by the truth and may the truth set me free from that. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I pray that in each and every one of our lives, and my life included, Lord, if there's a blind spot, if there's an area that Satan is coming in and that he's leading me astray, that he's turned my light into darkness, Lord, that you would show me right now what it is. That you would reveal it to me if there's something that needs to be taken out of my life, whether it's a habit, whether it's a relationship with somebody that I don't need to have that relationship with, whether it's the entertainment, whatever it is, Lord, if there's something that's become an idol in my life, if there's something that's hindering my walk with you, may you reveal it to me, may you reveal it to this congregation right now, and may you truly set us free. May we truly find that freedom and truly become your disciples. That as we examine ourselves, we would see that we are walking with you. Or Lord, if there's areas in our lives we need to repent and turn from, may you reveal it to us right now in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer this morning, the altars are open. Examine your life right now.
restoration. You bring rest to my soul. You've taken my pain.
I saw in the news a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago, about they had a city council meeting in Fort Smith about all the people running red lights. Did y'all remember seeing that on the news? Said it's a problem that I guess it's become a bad problem. There's people running red lights all over Fort Smith, and they were trying to figure out how to solve the problem, you know. I've done it both ways. You see a yellow light and you punch it. I've also seen a yellow light and I stopped. And I've seen accidents where people punched it and they went through on red and a crash ensues. Maybe this message this morning is your yellow light. Are you going to punch it and keep going full speed? Or are you going to stop, slow down and say, Lord, I need to make the necessary changes. I need to fix what needs to be fixed in my life before it goes too far, before I ruin my family, before I ruin my marriage, before I ruin my walk with you, Lord, most importantly. Examine your life this week. Pray. May it not be just a two-minute thing, but may as you're driving to work, as you're driving home, as you're sitting on your couch, as you're laying in bed at night, you pray and may the Holy Spirit speak to you. There needs to be changes. 6 o'clock tonight. Don't know what we're doing. We're going to have prayer. We need to be praying for what's going on overseas, the war. A lot of Christians coming under attack. Going to maybe talk a little bit about some blind spots maybe with the church. And so if you want to come, come. We'll be here at 6 o'clock tonight. Y'all have a blessed afternoon.